There you go.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, good afternoon. It's nice to have a good turnout today. I'm opening a meeting of the House Higher Ed Workforce Development Committee on Tuesday, March 21st, 2017. Today, we're going to hear about issues relevant to community colleges and nursing education programs. We are going to start with a relatively brief hearing about a technical issue with community college service districts, and so that'll be short and sweet, I hope. I am opening a public hearing on House Bill 2697. Laura, would you please provide the committee with a brief summary of the bill?
Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2697 would define service areas for Columbia Gorge Community College District and Southwestern Oregon Community College District. Defines these districts as the area served by the district prior to annexation of new territory or the territory within a county annexed by the district.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay.
Chair Reardon, do you mind if I bring up my...
Bring all your friends.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. And just a reminder, if everybody would introduce yourselves for the record, and then take off from there.
Thank you, Chair Reardon, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Caddy McEwen. I represent House District 9, Coos Beatty, Yahotson, and into Elmira. Four counties, three community colleges I represent. And I'm happy to be here today on behalf of Southwestern Oregon Community College, bringing to you a technical fix. This came to light when the community college considered, in the last few months, putting a bond levy on the ballot, and realized that legislation that passed in a previous session had created a boundary glitch for them. And so to clean that up, I have Dr. Patty Scott, president of Southwestern Community College, to talk to you a little bit about what the fix does for her. It also involves another community college with some legislation that passed, I believe, in 2009, if that's correct. So we're trying to clear up two little boundary glitches for two community colleges. Hopefully it's a very simple bill, and it should I'll let President Scott explain it to you.
Great. Thank you.
So good afternoon, Chair Reardon and members of the committee. My name is Patty Scott. I'm the president at Southwestern Oregon Community College. And what this proposed legislation would do would allow for our college to go out for a bond measure either in the original service district or our entire district, which has a section of it that annexed in 1995. So we discovered this glitch in the fall when we had hoped to go out for a bond measure in November, so in hopes to get the money to meet our match for our capital project. And what we wanted to do is go out, and what we thought we were able to do based on the legislation that happened in 2009 would allow us to go to the service district where the project was located. And so us, the original service district of Southwestern Oregon Community College, is Western Douglas County and Coos County. And there was a glitch in how that language was, that law was designed and the wording of it in 2009. And it doesn't allow for us to just go to the original service district. We have to go to the entire district, which also includes Curry County, which annexed into our district in 1995. Curry County, our campus in Curry County, is about 110 miles away from the original campus in Coos Bay. And so you can imagine the voters on the very south coast of Oregon in Brookings or Gold Beach not overly interested in voting on a bond measure for a project that's located 107 miles from them. So that what this bill would do would allow us to go to the area of the district where the service district is, where the citizens are more likely to access the project. So the Coos County citizens and the Western Douglas County citizens would be able, we could go to them for a project on the Coos County campus, or if we were wanting to go for a bond measure to the Curry County voters, we would just go to them if this law is changed.
So you're stretching the definition of community in this case. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I would also offer Chair Reardon and members of the committee, this is in response to the generosity of the legislature in the last session when we provided an $8 million capital grant to the community colleges, a number of community colleges. This is trying to create the match for that $8 million that we were so generous in providing to them. And they are planning on building a health and sciences center that's very, very important to our community in partnership with a number of other entities in the county. So this has great wide-ranging effect. It's a small fix that in 09 nobody realized the legislation was going to create this little bitty problem. It also, I believe, has created an issue for Columbia Gorge Community College. So it's actually taking care of two issues at once with this minor piece of legislation that's going to take care of that.
So. Yes. I kept picturing a physical overlap and how that was happening. And so I'm glad we're here to get that straightened out.
If you think about it this way, the community college has been very successful in the Coos County area. They expanded down into Brookings. So they actually have two campuses.
But not the Columbia Gorge.
Not the Columbia Gorge.
No, that.
No, but the legislation impacted them in a way that's creating a problem as well. So we want to take care of all of this in one minor little fell swoop this afternoon. Okay.
Dr. Toda? Yeah.
Frank?
Chair Reardon, Vice Chair Wisnett. For the record, my name is Dr. Frank Toda. I'm the president of Columbia Gorge Community College. And in the interest of brevity, I would just say ditto to everything that has been previously said. Changing the name of the counties to Wasco County and Hood River County in 2003, Wasco County and Hood River County were annexed together as a new college district. 2009, we were given this new opportunity to be able to split counties if we needed to process a ballot measure, which makes sense because when the original annexation occurred, Hood River County was actually given a tax, if you will, set off from the debt that Wasco County had at the time. So they've worked together independently for quite some time. So this just nicely fits. And as pointed out, it was just a matter of a few words that the state found it not appropriate. And we thought it was. And so thank you to President Scott for finding out ahead of me. And again, I thank you for your consideration.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Any questions of this panel? Yeah, well, thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you all very much.
I'd like to call forward Charles Tewitt, and if there's anybody else from the public that feels moved to testify on this, you could also come up.
Chair Reardon and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Charlie Twait.
Please excuse
CEO.
The pronunciation.
I beg your pardon?
Please excuse my pronunciation.
It's happened all my life. I'm the CEO of Lake District Hospital in Lakeview, so it's a little bit of a drive from Salem. Thank you for the opportunity to come and talk to you about House Bill 2540. As I read through all the issues.
Oops, pardon
about
me, sir.
Am I reading?
We're on House Bill 2697, so we may need to invite you back in a few moments.
I'll step back.
Yeah.
But thank you for your interest. This is a good bill, too.
Now you know how to pronounce his name, so you'll be
yeah,
good.
Right.
I bet he butchers.
Will I remember?
Can he remember?
Uh-oh, the pressure's on.
Okay. All right. Nobody else from the public, nor the questions. Great. I'm closing the public hearing on health. Oops, sorry.
Representative Johnson, do you have any comments on this or you know about this?
It just provides flexibility for the college in terms of how they want to administer bond and communicate with the districts and stuff. We have two counties. We have two campuses, so they do
that's
have
what
a little
you do have two campuses.
Two, correct.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm closing public hearing on House Bill 2697. I'm opening an informational hearing on Oregon Consortium for Nursing Education. And panel one is Paula Hubrid and Linda Wagner. And we have 30 minutes in total at best. So I'd like to ask you to manage that time a little bit.
Thank you. Greetings, Chair Reardon and Vice Chairs Lenzo, Leon, and Wisnett, and members of the committee. Good afternoon. We appreciate the opportunity to be here today. For the record, my name is Paula Gubrud. I'm the OHSU Director for the Oregon Consortium for Nursing Education, and I'm very pleased to give you an overview of this academic partnership that has been established in Oregon to educate nurses throughout our state. We have a brief PowerPoint presentation, and there'll also be some time for questions. So I'm pleased to introduce you to my colleague.
Chair Reardon and members, I am Linda Wagner. I'm nursing department chair at Rogue Community College in Grants Pass, Oregon. I just wanted to point out that the bottom picture on the slide is a picture of some of my graduates and one of my instructors, and they look very nice, don't they? We want to talk a little bit about the Oregon Consortium for Nursing Education, or OCNE. We have been around for about 15 years now, and we are a collaborative effort amongst the 11 of the associate degree nursing programs in the 16 community colleges that have associate degree nursing programs in this state, and all five campuses of the Oregon Health and Sciences University bachelor's nursing program. We were created ourselves about 15 years ago to address a number of things, including the looming nursing shortage, which is hitting us now. It was postponed by the recession, but it is coming back with a vengeance now. We co-created a curriculum, a seamless curriculum, four-year curriculum, where the first year of courses are prerequisites, same prerequisites for the community college partners as well as the OHSU partners, and then 3 years of nursing courses. 2 years of the nursing courses are the same on the community college campus or on the university campus, and the fourth year is that of OHSU's to earn a bachelor's degree. We have managed through this curriculum and the creation of the consortium that is actually seen as a model in the United States for nursing education, education that provides and creates accessibility to the higher education of the baccalaureate degree in nursing in all areas of Oregon where it was not necessarily available before. Thank you. The map shows our presence all around the state, each star representing one of our partners. The newest partner is right in the middle, Columbia Gorge Community College Associate Degree Nursing Program. And they are so new that they will actually not be implementing the nursing courses until fall of 2018. But you see the 11 community colleges, and we actually say that there's not just the five campuses for OHSU, Ashland, Klamath Falls, LeGrand, Monmouth, Portland, but a sixth campus, the virtual campus, and that is related to the final year and the availability of the online nursing courses in that final year. For the graduates of the community colleges who choose to transition to OHSU to earn their Bachelor of Science with a major in nursing.
So, as you can imagine, if you've spent any time with nursing faculty, it was pretty much a miracle to get faculty from all these different campuses to come together and agree upon a shared resource, a shared curriculum. And one of the primary motivators was, as we looked at the looming nursing shortage, we realized that we had to do things differently, and we really needed to leverage our resources collectively to serve the state of Oregon. Through a lot of hard work over several years, we did manage to create this shared curriculum that really emphasizes seamless progression from the associate degree to the baccalaureate degree for our students throughout the state. Our agreements include shared admission, so students don't repeat courses. It doesn't matter if they are doing prerequisites at Rogue Community College or OHSU. They have the same set of prerequisites. We have agreements about progression, so what it means for students who are maybe having troubles with a course. So we have agreements about how we allow students to progress through the curriculum. And then most importantly, we have a shared curriculum, which means our courses have the same course descriptions, the same course outcomes for those first 2 years of nursing curriculum, and we've figured out how to number things so that they transfer appropriate. Linda's going to tell you about that. The other issue that we really addressed was the accreditation and regulation requirements that each campus has to go through in order to maintain their status with the Oregon State Board of Nursing as well as national accreditation. So we've created a shared ongoing quality improvement mechanism to allow for those regulatory requirements that we all have to meet. So a little bit more about the seamless academic progression. And you saw the map, so it's pretty clear that we've created this system so that Oregonians that live in the districts of the community colleges that are partners have access to the degree at OHSU. So we've provided RN baccalaureate prepared workforce throughout Oregon, and with an emphasis on really providing for our rural communities. Not only does this baccalaureate degree provide a level of competency that employers want, but it's a gateway to advanced degrees in nursing. So you have to have a baccalaureate degree before you can become a nurse practitioner, and access to becoming a nurse practitioner can address the primary care shortage in Oregon, and especially in rural Oregon. And again, all of the coursework is provided by students in their home community, so they don't have to move. They can access it, the theory, the didactic, online, and they do all of their clinical through special arrangements in their home community.
One of the advantages of our collaboration is the what we are calling on this slide fiscally efficient for the students. The students can take 3 out of the 4 years at a community college, the prerequisite year of 45 credits of prerequisites, and the next 2 years at a community college, earn their Associate of Applied Science degree in nursing, take their national licensure exam, become a registered nurse, and they can go on to the fourth year at OHSU to earn their Bachelor of Science with a major in nursing. And it's only at that point that the university tuition kicks in, which is considerably higher than at a community college. The financial aid eligibility is then available to students throughout their progression. Experience tells us that those students who choose to go on for their RN to BSN degree, many of them do have financial aid and in the form of student loans. And one of the advantages of the consortium and the curriculum that we've created and the process we've created is that for those students who go through partner community college program, earn their associate degree, and go to work, they can then access their employer's funds that are available for tuition reimbursement. In our area, Asante is a large network of hospitals, and they have for most employees a 1 year wait for being able to access tuition reimbursement. In other words, you'd have to work for a year before you could access that. They've waived that for our graduates in order to encourage them to go right on for their bachelor's degree in nursing. And I do, after we are done with our slide presentation, I do have a letter that you have copies of to share with you from one of our colleagues at Asante down there.
OCTI is also fiscally efficient for schools. faculty can teach across campuses, and we've had incidents where that's happened. So we had a faculty who was unable to teach her assigned load at a community college this fall, and somebody else from the LeGrand OHSU campus was able to pick up that load and provide those courses, and that would have been a problem otherwise. So we have a shared faculty agreement, and there are times when we've used that shared faculty agreement. We share our resources across campuses. So if Linda creates a PowerPoint or a course or some kind of course artifact or a test, we can load it onto a shared database and anybody can access it. So that's addressing the nursing faculty shortage as well as the nursing workload, faculty workload. The consortium supports mentoring of new faculty across campuses. We have systems in place that support all of our new faculty on all of our campuses, and we see it as being very critical as we enter an era of a severe nursing faculty shortage that we know is upon us. That the OCNI infrastructure is in place to leverage our resources as that shortage hits us.
I just want to mention something more about the shared resources that we have access to. This fall, I had a faculty member experience a tragedy that prevented her from working for a period of time, and that meant that I had 2 days to prepare for a class that she normally would have taught. I went on to our shared resource platform and found something that I could use that would really help the information stick with our students. So it has been very beneficial to me personally. I've already mentioned that 11 of the ADN programs in the state are partners, and Clatsop Community College was one of the most recent. They have just started implementing the nursing courses this year, so next year will be the first year that they will have taught the second year of the consortium nursing courses. And I had already mentioned also Columbia Gorge, and when they will be implementing in fall of 2018 the nursing courses. I've done informational sessions for other community college ADN programs. I've been working with them for a long time. I've been a nurse educator at Rogue Community College for 27 years, and I highly value the friendships and work with all of the community college ADN programs in the state. One of the other ways I personally and our program has benefited is from the innovation and research that's been possible through this collaborative effort and through the consortium. There, at the beginning of our consortium, we had a number of grants that provided funding, and because of the proximity of OHSU Ashland to Rogue Community College, we often work together and have worked together on research projects, and as a result, we have benefited greatly in the changes that we've been able to bring to our clinical education. We have now what we call concept-based learning activities that we wouldn't have had if we had not been partnered with OHSU in the development. There are other activities that occur throughout the year where our OHSU Ashland nursing students and the RCC nursing students are together in experiences, in what we call clinical experiences, something called teen theater, another one called a poverty simulation, and the collaborative work and the resource of having such a large networking possibility with nurse educators from around the state helped us a lot when last year we went through our State Board of Nursing approval process, an 8-year process, and came away with very high marks because of the documents we had in place and the work that had been done.
So in addition to the innovations that Linda just talked about, OCNI has supported nursing education research through OHSU. We have a laboratory of 17 different campuses that we can try innovative things, evaluate, and our publication record as well as our presentation record is testimony to the effectiveness of the opportunity to collaborate over new innovations and conduct research. Acne is nationally known. It's been replicated by a dozen different states, and we've even consulted internationally. We've consulted with Japan recently to Aruba. They want to come here, and I said, no, we need to go there. But our work is well known nationally and beginning to be well known internationally.
I think this slide I've actually already talked about with the common year of prerequisites and then the next 2 years, actually the first five terms of those 2 years that are the same courses in both programs, the associate degree and the OHSU bachelor's nursing programs. And then at the end of the AAS degree, students who graduate can take and pass the national licensure exam and can have several options for transitioning to OHSU. They could transition the following fall or the following spring. They can go full-time to take the final year of nursing courses, or they can split it into part-time. Our students that graduate and transition, all but one have transitioned, have opted for the part-time because they want to be working as RNs while they're going to school, and they've taken advantage of that option. We have common course descriptions, as Paula mentioned, but the numbering is something that I want to point out, too. We dual numbered the courses. So at the 200 level at the community college, those are also numbered as 300 numbered courses at OHSU. And what that results in is by the time a student has graduated from my nursing program, students, if they choose to transition to OHSU, will actually be recognized as having completed 27 credits of upper division nursing courses in our community college program at the community college tuition. So our fall second year course is number 221. That same course, which is chronic to an end of life, at OHSU is number 321. There's a great deal of...
I need to interrupt just a little bit.
Yes.
And ask you to kind of bring your part to a conclusion pretty soon. Could we have two
Absolutely.
Students that are waiting, and I want to be sure to allow time for some questions.
Okay.
So just briefly, the infrastructure that supports the consortium, most of the infrastructure is supported through OHSU. We have a project office that supports administrative support, some of my salary, and then Rogue Community College supports a bit of Linda's salary, and we work together closely through a committee structure to keep the work moving forward. In summary, we've graduated about 4,000 people from the curriculum over the course of the last 10 years. Our NCLEX results, our licensing exams, have remained very good or to excellent. We've tripled the number of students that are going on for the baccalaureate since we started the consortium. About 30 to 37% are continually enrolled, and many take a break and then come back. And again, we're recognized as a national model. So that does wrap up our portion of the presentation.
Great. Thank you very much. Let's go ahead and hear from this entire panel and then maybe take some questions.
Let me just bring up... there, you do have a letter from Boone Richardson, who's a staff development specialist at Asante Three Rivers Medical Center in Grants Pass, just 5 minutes away from the campus where my primary office is. I just want to draw your attention to that. He was unable to phone in today because of some scheduling conflict, but he did want to provide the letter to testify the quality of the graduates that the students that he sees while they're students, both from OHSU and RCC, and also the graduates. Asante typically hires something like 90 grads a year, and usually about half of them are from the OHSU Ashland program, and half of them are from our program. And I just would like you to be able to read through and see his thoughts about Acne. Thank you.
We'll do that. Thank you.
Chair Reardon and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to offer testimony today. My name is Allison Seymour. I'm a registered nurse working here in Salem at Salem Health. I'm here today on behalf of the Oregon Nurses Association, representing 14,000 members and registered nurses working throughout our state's system. I'm here today really to share my story and my struggle of nursing school. Today, for many, becoming a nurse is a long process.
I'm a good example. It took me 8 years to complete all the college requirements to get my degree and begin practicing in Oregon. My education started in my hometown of Spokane, Washington, where I attended Spokane Community College with a goal of transferring to a four-year institution to complete my nursing degree. I completed my prerequisites at Eastern Oregon University and applied for the OHSU School of Nursing in La Grande, Oregon. However, I was not admitted that year. I had to retake some prerequisites, and because the community college I attended was not an OCNE member, that made some difficulties for my admission. But this is not uncommon. According to data from the Oregon Center of Nursing in 2015, Oregon associate and baccalaureate nursing programs receive over 7,000 applicants for 1,610 available seats, turning away many qualified candidates. After applying the next year, I was accepted to the OHSU School of Nursing, and this fulfilled a lifelong dream, as I valued the importance of obtaining a bachelor's degree in nursing. Throughout school, it was financially necessary for me to work part-time while in the program. It was challenging to go to school and then go to work and then go home to study. Even though my days of delivering pizzas, waxing floors, and waiting tables are over, I still take those lessons and bring my patients beverages and food with a smile and provide good customer service. The OHSU school coursework is rigorous, I'm not going to lie. The School of Nursing uses the OCNE curriculum and prepares nurses to provide exceptional patient care. I would like to share with you a quote from my last reflective journal that I found on my computer before graduation. There are many experiences that have shaped my development personally and professionally throughout nursing school. First, the dedication, perseverance, and hard work required to succeed in this program has made me better personally and professionally. It has prepared me for the future. In most situations, it's difficult to remember the trying times as fond memories, and this is no exception. The late nights, frustrations, finding evidence-based articles, and challenging exams are not fond memories, but they were critically essential to my development. The autonomy that was fostered in my senior-level courses, population-based chronic illness and health promotion, and my leadership and outcome managements in nursing improved my ability to think critically about situations and develop plans for improvements. Overall, the program encouraged me to be a self-directed learner, an independent, determined student, and enhance my communication skills. My nursery leadership course shaped how I think about the meaning of a self-service leader and a true champion of the interest of nurses and improvements in patient care. What I learned in that course fuels my involvement with ONA and brings me before you today. Finally, I can't speak enough about how my clinical experiences with OHSU I can't speak highly enough of those experiences and the patients and conditions that I witnessed. It's staggering to think about all of the patients and the over 1,400 clinical hours that I completed. My clinical experiences required travel from La Grande, Oregon, up to Umatilla, up to Enterprise, and even over to Boise, Idaho. In Enterprise, I worked up with a rural health assessment and a rural program with children and a research program with OHSU, and I also worked on the National Diabetes Prevention Program at a small clinic. In Umatilla, I did clinicals at a residential mental health facility under the direction of the Parole Services Review Board. In Boise, Idaho, when I was on a medical telemetry unit, I provided care for patients suffering from acute stroke and cardiovascular disease. When I was there, it was the first time that I witnessed an assault of a healthcare worker, my preceptor, at 2 a.m. in the morning. This sparked my interest and led me to work in my current position on a medical telemetry unit here in Salem. My clinical experience provided a stronger foundation and a very wide scope for nursing practice. As you will hear, I'm sure today, in 2010, the Institute of Medicine introduced new demands on the nursing field and has a target for most nurses to hold a bachelor's degree by 2020. I completely agree with this statement based on my experiences and observations in school and in the workforce. I left the La Grande area sadly, but because of the higher wages and the better opportunity here in Salem. Salem Health is a magnet-recognized hospital and had a new grad residency program to help new nurses transition from school to the profession. I would encourage any hospital challenged by recruitment to invest in a similar program. In Oregon, many nurse applicants are turned away each year. With the looming nursing shortage, evidence supports that this crisis is a nursing faculty shortage. We need legislation aimed at increasing faculty workforce and to support the most fiscally efficient manners and support current programs that are working, like OCNI. The OCNI curriculum is supporting institutions and providing high quality and producing high quality nurses that are needed in the Oregon workforce. I'm very thankful for the opportunities and experiences that I had at OHSU in La Grande, Oregon. I value the school's partnership with OCNI. That program has shaped me to be who I am today, the nurse I've become, and the compassionate, evidence-based care that I provide on a daily basis. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. My name is Tammy Staley, and I'm a registered nurse in the city of Portland. I currently work as an RN case manager, helping people stay home after they've been hospitalized. So I have about a 30-patient caseload at this moment, and I have a team of physical therapists, occupational therapists, speech therapists, social workers, and other nurses that work with me in order to keep people out of the hospital and home. I'm privileged to say that I graduated from OHSU in June of 2016. I graduated from Clackamas Community College in 2015. I was a participant in the OCNI program. As you can tell, I'm not 20 years old. I went back to college in my 40s, so my late 40s. Doing so fiscally, it wasn't responsible for me to consider getting a baccalaureate degree in my late 40s and then still try to retire in a few years. So the OCNI program itself was an amazing program for me to attend a community college, be able to accomplish my lifelong dream of becoming a nurse. Prior to becoming a nurse, I had been a realtor and a banker, spent several years running Washington Mutual branches, and had owned several businesses of my own. So I brought a broad spectrum of experience to the table, but I wanted to become a nurse and had always had wanted to do that. Clackamas Community College provided a standardized level of education that I knew I would be able to get regardless of what school I attended. And then transferring directly into OHSU allowed me to get the bachelor's degree from a college that somebody would take notice of when they looked at my resume. Because being a first-year graduate from OHSU as a new nurse, it is difficult to find a nursing job unless you've got the ability to take on that job and have the experience under your belt. So having that, being graduated from OHSU was a huge piece of the puzzle for me. OCNI itself provided me the standardized education to go head-to-head with any of the students at OHSU or any other nursing program. I found very quickly when I got out into the workforce that I was just as strong, if not stronger, than many of the nurses that had just graduated. So I can't speak highly enough about the OCNI program itself. The education is standardized. The teachers themselves are phenomenal at all of the colleges, the community colleges, as well as OHSU. And the ability to be able to put nurses out there into the workforce where we are so short of nurses right now, every day we deal in the workforce right now with not having enough nurses to do the job that needs to be done, to provide the patient care that needs to be provided. So having this this program be in place is critical to the success of the nursing field going forward. So I thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you all. Question for the Rep. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate it. Thanks, all of you, for being here. I appreciate that a lot. Your words about Common Course numbering and descriptions and equivalencies really perked up some of our ears because we're actually trying to do some work on that this session. But frankly, when we talk about that amongst some of our higher ed participants, we kind of get these glazed eyes like, you want us to what? So I guess my question would be, how did this come about? What kind of process did you use between the colleges and OHSU and the instructors to be able to get agreement on what these courses meant, and how long of a process was that?
Well, I think as I mentioned earlier, the development of the curriculum took about 3 years, and what it meant was monthly meetings from representatives from all of the programs coming together and looking at the research, what was needed, and then mapping out the curriculum. We did a process of getting to the end point first, and we created the competencies first, and then we built it backwards to what it would take to get to those competencies. And they, I mean, frankly, one of the first things we learned about each other as we worked together is that the universities didn't know what the community colleges were doing, and the community colleges didn't know what the universities were doing as far as nursing education. So
we did have to spend a fair amount of time creating that shared vision to start with and coming to agreements about the shared vision and really mission that we wanted to serve all of Oregon the most efficiently way possible we could. And we were fortunate that we were able to get investments from private foundations as well as some state and federal money to support the work.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
Any other questions? Now, when somebody leaves your program, even after going to the more expensive fourth year, do you have any ideas of the amount of student debt?
It's very variable depending on their financial aid package. And I can tell you that, and the tuition across community colleges can be different in terms of some community colleges charge some fees that to pay for the high cost of clinical education, and others don't. So it's quite variable.
If I can answer your question just from my perspective, I was fortunate enough to be a Ford Family Foundation scholarship recipient, and which meant that they were going to pay 90% of my cost of attendance in order to attend school. And because I was returning to post-secondary education later in life, they were willing to do that, and it was an amazing program. That being said, there was a cap every year of $25,000. That cap allowed of $25,000 was 90% of cost of attendance. I was not only able to complete my college education at CCC and OHSU with that cap in place, but I was also able to walk away, still pay for my family and I to live while I went to school, and I was also able to not walk away with any debt.
Great.
Can I follow up to your question?
Please.
Well, that's an exception. That's not typical of all students.
No, it's not.
So, so I would say that congratulations. I think that's amazing for you to get this amazing scholarship opportunity. But I'd like to get a more of a general sense of a student and how much it does cost them, just so that I can better understand. Just some numbers, if you will.
Sure.
I was just going to say, at our college right this year, the tuition is $99 per credit, and there are certain fees that go along with that. I don't know the actual cost for the year. Many of our students do get financial aid. They're Pell Grant eligible. Many get loans. A number of our students will do anything to avoid having to get student loans. Mm-hmm. Most of our students do work part-time also. If you would like the information about RCC's cost per year, I can get that for you a little bit later.
So I can I concur with Linda. I think students work really hard to avoid student loans to decrease their debt load. So the cost of the fourth year at OHSU is $15,687 right now. Mm-hmm. Now, most of the students that choose to go on do the part-time option. So even though it's 1 year full-time, they do that 1 year over 2 years so that they can kind of do as a pay-as-you-go and pay the tuition as they go along without having to take a loan, or perhaps they have scholarship. And then, as Linda mentioned, many of the employers provide tuition assistance, so they get that tuition assistant from their employers to finish that fourth year.
Okay. Well, I must say I was very impressed, especially by Allison's testimony on the breadth of experience and knowledge that you have to be a nurse. Just amazing. So even more than ever, appreciate what you do for all of us. And if there are no other questions, I'm going to close this informational hearing. And maybe there is another question.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I was interested listening to the testimonies I've heard from other industries about the pipeline to the concerns for the workforce. So I was curious about on the loan for are there, you know, we hear of like teacher positions that have, if you work in a Title I school, there's a percentage of loan forgiveness. Do you have programs set up that in the nursing industry that if you were to work in, you know, in a type of program like that, that there would be some sort of loan forgiveness? I have a couple parts to that.
I understand there's very limited funds available for that. There are some scholarships available for the higher education, but it's different from when I went to school, when loan forgiveness was quite possible. When I had a real problem recruiting some part-time clinical instructors last year, I tried to recruit one of my graduates who had gone on for a bachelor's degree, but she had two bachelor's degrees before she came to us, and she had so much loan debt by that time she couldn't afford to come to work for us because her salary full-time in the hospital was much higher than she could make for us, working for us part-time and then part-time. So it's an issue for us as with the nursing faculty shortage.
Okay, follow-up?
I really need to close this.
Or maybe not.
Thank you. We're running a little bit over, largely due to people being late getting here, but I would never mention that. Thank you all again for being here. I'm closing
thank
this
you.
Informational hearing.
Thank you.
I'm opening a public hearing on House Bill 2540. Laura, please provide the committee with a brief summary of the bill.
Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2540 would expand degree and certificate granting authority of community colleges to include applied baccalaureate degrees in nursing, deletes Legislative Assembly policy finding that community colleges should be prohibited by law from becoming a baccalaureate degree granting institution.
Representative Hack, welcome.
Chair
good to have
Reardon.
You here.
Hi, members of the committee, Jody Hack, House District 19. I have the pleasure of teeing up House Bill 2540 for you all today. I just briefly got to spend a little time listening to the OCNI presentation and want to commend them for the great work that they have done. I did hear a couple of really important things that I think you're going to that will be addressed with House Bill 2540. That is the access to more nurses, the affordability of getting a nursing degree. I think those are a couple of things that I heard at the very end, which I think will be addressed in House Bill 2540. So I just wanted to point that out real quickly. House Bill 2540 will give community college boards the ability to request state approval from the Higher Education Coordinating Commission to award Bachelor of Science in Nursing degrees under certain conditions. As we all know, in Oregon today, there are difficulties in recruiting bachelor-prepared nurses in specific fields. The trend that we have seen in various fields throughout the state include long-term care industry, retirement centers and the geriatric community, the corrections industry, public health facilities, and in-home care centers. HB 2540 gives people an opportunity to earn a bachelor's degree in their local community colleges without having to relocate from their communities where they reside at a lower cost to them. Community colleges currently are limited to a two-year nursing degree program that allows graduates to become licensed as registered nurses. Passing HB 2540 is an essential step to the process to increasing the number of bachelor degree nurses in Oregon. The bill would help fill the demand for Bachelor of Science degree nurses and respond to workforce need. Responding to the local workforce needs is one of the primary purposes of a community college and also one of the primary purposes that we tend to focus on here in this building. I just want to, again, reiterate that the opportunity that we have to work with our local community colleges, keeping people in their homes, in the residence where they live so they don't have to relocate, giving them the opportunity to have a more affordable way to enter into a bachelor's degree in nursing, I think, is extremely important, and this would give our community colleges the opportunity to do that and to meet an ever-growing workforce demand that we have here in Oregon. So with that said, I would like to have those who have a whole lot more knowledge in the area to come up and talk with you all about how that works and what that would look like. So thank you for the opportunity to hear this very important issue.
And thank you for bringing it to us. Any questions of Rep. Hack before we let her off the hook?
And I'm going to go back to rules.
I can wait if you want, if you'd rather I hear from
Please, we need one question.
Thanks.
For Rep. Hack.
I'm not certain if, am I to understand, thank you, Chair, am I to understand that that this is about access to the program, but did I hear in the previous presentation that the access is mostly online, working with?
So this would, Chair Reardon and Representative Solman, this would be access to a new program to allow community colleges. So right now there are, you have the university track, mm-hmm. that's a four-year college university BSN track. You have the two-year community college that then goes on to, and you guys can correct me when you come up here, you're smarter than I am with this, the 18 to 24-month 100% online BSN track. You have the one-year in-class Portland-only BSN track, and then the new option would be with House Bill 2540 would allow for an 18 to 24-month hybrid in-class and online BSN track through the community colleges. So you've got your OCNE curriculum track, and then this would be a new option.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Hope that answered, and
great.
If not, these guys will definitely do a better job of outlining okay. what that looks like.
Well, you may go forth and make wonderful rules.
Yeah, and wonderful rules in the basement.
All right.
So thank you again, Chair.
Thank
members
you.
Of the committee.
Appreciate it. And I'd like to call up Charlie, whose last name I will never try to pronounce again, Pam Matthews and Vicki Griffin.
I'll try again. Chair Reardon and members. Oh, I'll wait. Excuse me. We need more of them.
Sure.
Chair Reardon and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Charlie Twaite. I'm the CEO of Lake District Hospital in Lakeview, Oregon, and I'm here to testify in support of House Bill 2540. As you heard just a little bit ago, there's an enormous need for additional nurses in our state. Certainly in very rural communities like where I come from. There are lots and lots of nurses that we find that have two-year degrees, and when they come out to our community, getting them to get into a four-year degree is difficult. But then when they do, most often they come to Salem, or they come to Portland, or they come to other I-5 or 84 communities, because that's where the bigger jobs are, more responsibility, greater opportunity. So we don't really get the benefit of all of those students that need their four-year degree. Two-year degree RNs are excellent, and all RNs, when they come to work at a hospital like ours, or actually at most hospitals, minimum of 3 months, sometimes 6 months, of new orientation. Finding out where things are before they can be responsible to take care of their patients on their own. So it takes a lot of work for us. It's very disheartening when they come to our community, spend a couple of years, and then leave and come back to a more urban setting. We need to have options where people that live in our community get educated and want to stay in our community. A lot of times when nurses come out to more rural or remote communities, they may be in search of a spouse, or they may have a spouse, but the spouse has a hard time getting a job. If they're from that community, the likelihood that they will be able to have family and other support, they'll stay in the community. That makes a lot of difference for us. OHSU and OCNE, as you heard, they're exceptional programs, but they don't fill the need. We have a greater need. When it comes to recruiting, the question was asked, how do students pay for this? As a small hospital, we offer scholarships. We tie it to time. And so if we're going to pay for some education, we require that they stay. Not indentured servants, but they stay for a given time period. If they leave, they have to pay back the remaining loan amount. What we find is many stay until the loan's paid, and then they leave. So it helped us for that short time period, but it doesn't really get to the problem that we have. A couple of years ago, we participated with Klamath Community College to allow for some synchronous classrooms on our hospital campus. It's kind of a great opportunity to have classroom taught in our campus, small hospital, but the teachers may be in another site. That's really allowed students to stay in our community, which means we get them to work and they're continuing their education. What this bill does is allows more community colleges to have more training, which gives more access. The schools that are the programs that are in Klamath or in Klamath Falls or in Ashland or in along the I-5 corridor, as you heard, those bigger hospitals hire all those students. They don't come out to our communities. We need help, and that's why I'm encouraging you to consider this as an option. I would ask for your support.
Okay, great. Thank you. And either Pam or Vicki. And I don't know which one is which.
Oh, so. I'm Pam Matthews.
Okay, thank you.
Be the right. For Chair Reardon and the committee members, for the record, my name is Pam Matthews, and I'm the executive director for Willamette Valley Hospice here in Salem. You have my written testimony, and I know time is getting tight. I think that it's been very clear with all the conversation why there's value to having a BSN program. And my testimony talks about that in writing. And I would say that for us, whenever we're taking care of a hospice, we are a freestanding hospice here in Salem, and not associated with any larger system. And we frequently have our hospice aides who go to school to become associate degree nurses and then to want to go on to school to have their BSNs. And they really would prefer to be able to do that locally. We're in Salem, we're in the I-5 corridor. We frequently have students who come to our facility to have experiences who are part of the OCNE program, and I value that highly. I've also heard from my nurses who are going back to school to do the BSN programs, and several of them are doing that now, and they do it online, and they have told me they would have done it sooner and also felt that it would be more affordable if they could do it locally at the community college. I'm getting very positive feedback from them about their experiences in community college here, and they would like to be able to stay here to do their BSN. We very much need BSN nurses, and we are experiencing the shortage of nurses, both because our hospice nurses are aging and will be retiring soon, and the younger nurses are looking for a variety of experiences, and we also have a turnover from the intensity of doing our hospice nursing. So I would love to be able to have nurses be able to do their BSNs locally. Thank you.
Okay. And thank you.
Hi, I'm thank you for having me. I'm Vicki Griffin, and I'm the director of the MedSurg Telemetry Unit at Willamette Valley Medical Center in McMinnville, Oregon. And I concur with exactly what they said, but I will make it short and sweet because I know we're running over as well. I have been there for almost 18 years. I am a Chemeketa grad of the year 2000. I employ some of the most nurses in my department of MedSurg is the one I hire the most, and in all honesty, I hire 80% Chemeketa grads because, honestly, they have some of the strongest nursing skills. I've seen, you know, they have the highest, one of the highest passing rates of their NCLEX exam. Very strong program. One of the most affordable colleges that you can go to. And I just think that this is a win-win. I don't see how you could lose with this bill, because it is true. I mean, you've got the data on the nursing shortage. We're supposed to have 80% of our nurses by 2020 have their BSN. So it just seems logical that this is the next step. So I appreciate your time, and if you have any questions.
Any questions for this panel?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess the questions that I come up with is that, are we primarily talking about affordability or access or both as we talk about opening up into a new baccalaureate program at community college level? Are we saying that there aren't enough pathways to get to the BSN currently, or are we just looking for more convenient, affordable pathways?
I think both.
Yes, I would agree.
Okay.
Okay, great. Rapreschke.
I think, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I think my question is similar to Rep. Johnson in the sense that I hear about a looming nursing shortage, if it's not here already, and I want to know how far we're behind right now and what we need in 2025, 2040, et cetera, and do we have, it sounds like we don't have the capacity to get there with the current pathways. Is that an accurate statement? We need more pathways. We need another way. This is another way to get more nurses into the pipeline.
Yes, with Willamette Valley, like we were talking about, the rural areas, sometimes it is the affordability. Maybe they want to go to nursing school, but maybe they can't afford it, or, the access to it as well in the areas that we're in. So.
Rep. Solomon.
Thank you, Chair. I'm trying to grasp and understand this, and I appreciate the questions for clarity from my colleagues. And I'm trying to understand that I'm hearing it. I'm concerned that you're saying maybe this is like an urban-rural type of issue. And is it access for that? Because it's my understanding, and did I hear this wrong, that the program is 3 years online and then a one-year local partnership with someone in that, with an organization in that area, so that the student doesn't necessarily have to leave that area, if I heard that wrong. And then my second part is are we concerned because that we are cutting, that it is about access, that we are reducing, there's only so many slots and we need more opportunity? Am I being clear?
Chair Reardon, thank you for your question, Representative Solomon. I can't speak about what is in the program because there are educators that can speak real clearly about that. But it is both access and affordability from my viewpoint. Access, we don't have enough that are in our communities that want to stay in our communities. And then affordability, I don't know anyone that finds it to be a non-expensive proposition.
I guess a follow-up. Please. The access part of it, is it that, I mean, you triggered on something that you had said. You had said that most of the students then are then going to other hospitals, bigger hospitals. So I'm just trying to figure out how this would solve that issue, because they still have that ability to go to an urban or a larger hospital if they went through a program locally. So I'm wondering how that's going to solve the issue of that.
My specific interest is in allowing education to occur in the more rural setting. So the more that we make that available, it really supports our communities. There are other urban issues, and why do people leave? We all know we need to have the four-year degree. I think it's predicted that 80% of all nurses should be four-year RN or four-year degreed RNs by 2020. We're at 40% right now. So how do we get our other 60% that are competent nurses to get that extra two-year degree? And that's an issue for us. And that's what I'm really here talking about.
I guess follow up. I think I just would need to know more information about, I think I need clarity maybe going forward or offline about how that other program that was described doesn't work in this area, because I thought it was my understanding that majority of it was online. So that wouldn't be an access issue for me. And that's where I'm possibly needing.
We might get more information.
Yes, please. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you talk about the infrastructure that is in place or that is needed? So I understood that perhaps there's a shorting of nursing instructors, and there may be some facility infrastructure that would be required. So can you walk me through that, or if there's a person in the room that may be able to answer that, Mr. Chair, you could.
And we do have two more panels coming
up. All right. Then I'll hold my question because if you don't feel comfortable.
Somebody else better suited to answer that question. So there's no more questions for this panel. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. One thing I kept forgetting to mention, the time management part of it, but we're doing okay. So so Amy, Kelly, Wendy, and Sherry, if you could come up. I'm sticking with first names. My apologies. It's not meaning to be disrespectful in any way. But.
I'm sorry, did I hear Kelly?
Kelly. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So Amy, you're up.
Sure.
Thank you for being here.
Chair Reardon and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Amy Reyes, and I'm the manager of the Family Birth Center at Legacy Silverton Medical Center. You do have a letter that was written by our CNO, Karen Brady, that she asked me to read, but I don't think I'll go into depth. I think that a lot of the other panels have covered the majority of what she said. And I think coming from an employer in the state and local, I mean, we are 13 miles away from Salem. We're 45 minutes away from Portland. And what this bill would do for the Silverton Legacy, the smaller hospitals that aren't in Portland, would give us the ability to view students in their clinical setting. We do have a lot of our students that come through Silverton that are coming from the Portland schools, and we don't necessarily take as many of the community college nursing students in the legacy facilities during their education because we don't hire any ADNs coming right out of nursing school anymore. So in all seven of the legacy hospitals, we are only hiring bachelor's prepared nurses coming out of nursing school. We're only interviewing bachelor's prepared nurses coming out of nursing school. So what we find is we still have the same issues that you're seeing in the rural areas, even though we're located 13 miles away from Salem and not very far from the Portland market. We recruit the bachelor's nurses. Most of them are going to school in Portland. Most of them live in Portland. Portland doesn't always have all the opportunities, though. So the students and the new nurses need opportunities throughout the state to get their experience. They do tend to go back to Portland because Portland pay is higher, and usually that's where they live. So if we had the opportunity to have a bachelor's program even here locally, at Chemeketa, we would be able to give opportunities to the students right out of school in our own areas that would stay in our areas. The average expense for a turnover of a nurse in our system is about $200,000. So it costs about $200,000 to get a nurse in a specialty area, especially through training. And then we find that the turnover rate is incredible, because not because they don't want to work where we are, but because of the pay and the different in their families being more up north, where most of the bachelor's schools are available. I hope that answers.
Could you define that turnover cost? Is that from the time that they come to work in your establishment and then they are hired away by somebody else?
They say that losing a single nurse is calculated to about twice the nurse's annual in salary, $200,000 per year for each nurse that leaves. In the Family Birth Center, we train labor and delivery nurses. It's a specialty area. It's about $70,000 to train a nurse, just the training alone in a specialty area. And those nurses, the opportunities are there because we're constantly recruiting, especially for the bachelor's nurses. And so as we train and then they stay a year and they leave, they're leaving because we're recruiting them out of their communities up north in Portland, and we're not able to recruit them locally in our own communities. And so if we had a bachelor's program, we would be able to commute to retain them. Okay. Because they're in their own community.
Okay.
So.
And I forgot I was supposed to wait till the entire panel got down.
Sorry.
Got excited. So. Right. Who we have? Wendy?
Yes.
Okay.
Chair Reardon and members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to testify today. My name is Wendy Wunderwald, and I am a nurse. I am the Vice President of Patient Care Services at Samaritan Lebanon Community Hospital. Samaritan is a 5-hospital system with 3 facilities in the valley, Albany, Lebanon, Corvallis, and then 2 on the coast. And what we're seeing as an employer is that we hire many of the associate degree nurses from our community colleges. We have them come in as students. We end up getting to see how they do, and then we see what we like, and we hire. What we are really asking for are more opportunities and educational pathways for them to stay in our area and continue on with their education. There are opportunities with online programs, and many of our nurses are working on that, but they are much more expensive and more costly. We also meet with the members of our long-term care facilities in the Mid-Willamette Valley once a quarter, and know that the long-term care facilities and our assisted care facilities are also looking for local opportunities for the nursing staff as well, somewhere where they don't have to go up north and could stay in their community and also have that revenue flow back into the community. So I just wanted to say that we're very supportive of the House Bill 2540, and thank you for your consideration.
Great. Thank you very much. Kelly? Okay. I know, you're Kelly.
Sherry Kelly.
Sherry. Sherry.
Good afternoon, Chair Reardon and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Sherry Steele, and I'm the Chief Nursing Executive for Santee M Hospital in Staten, Oregon, and I'm here today to testify in support of House Bill 2540. I think we've heard, in essence of saving some time here, I do want to try to help answer some of the questions that I've heard, and I think it's important to understand the statistics. Currently, the age of a nurse, a third of our nursing population is over the age of 50, and what that means in the next 10 to 15 years, we're about to lose 700,000 nurses. And those nurses, they may be sound like numbers and statistics, and we hear a lot about that, but what they represent is a vast amount of years of knowledge and experience in patient care that we are going to be losing during a time in healthcare where we are seeing more complex and sick patients than we've ever seen, and a growing amount of patients that will be needing healthcare. And so we know that, and our associates nurses are wonderful nurses, but we also know that the BSN program allows for a deeper knowledge and advancement of their education and learning. And so, yes, there are A lot of the courses are online, but they also have to do what's called a clinical, where they have to spend time in hospitals working on different units. They do practicum programs, which is where they will come in and they have to coordinate an average of probably about 90 hours that they have to try and coordinate spending time at a hospital. And meanwhile, a lot of these people are working full-time, they have families, and the difficulty of having to try to get a place, you know, we get students, like right now, we're getting students every day emailing us and asking us, do you have a space for me? Can you help me do my practicum? And because we get these requests from all over Oregon, a lot of these nurses are willing to travel hours just to try to get a clinical spot someplace for their practicum to complete their hours. And that is really an inconvenience for them, leaving their families. And some people are having to take time off of work and even not work. And so the need to stay local here in our community is very important. And it will also, if we have that local need being met, it will allow more people the opportunity to get into one of these bachelor's programs, and more people willing to make that effort when they have that kind of local access.
Okay, great. Thank you. Kelly, I'm going to let you wrap it up, and if you could do that quickly, that would be really helpful. And
you also have my letter of testimony to Chair Reardon, members of the committee. My name is Kelly Odegaard. I'm the administrator, CEO of the Edward C. Allworth Veterans Home in Lebanon, Oregon. I've been administrator for about 27 years throughout Oregon and Washington. I want to go right to the heart of the matter here for Ms. Solomon. What I haven't heard yet is the pipe is not big enough. You heard OCNE talk about their wonderful programs, and I'm extremely in support of that. I've hired nurses from that program. My daughter's been in that program. My niece has been in that program. Unfortunately, the pipe is not big enough. They had 7,000 applicants, regardless of cost, regardless of location. They talked about 7,000 applicants with 1,700 positions available. That's the problem. We're not creating enough people. We have enough people who want to be nurses. It is one of the most noble professions ever. My mother's a retired nurse. My sister's an RN graduate from Chemeketa. My daughter's an RN graduate from Chemeketa. People want to be in this profession. We need them in our workforce. I represent about 150 skilled nursing facilities in Oregon, and if you haven't been down to Lebanon to see your state's newest veterans home, it is the nicest veterans home in the country. I please invite you down there to see it. But I need nurses. We are budgeted for about 65 nurses in total, RNs and LPNs. And right now, I don't have near the RNs that we'd like to have. There's a difference between an LPN and an RN for a reason. RNs can assess. In skilled nursing facilities, they work very independently, unlike in an acute care setting where a physician is right at hand. They need that higher skill set to take care of their residents. Their acuity is growing ever and ever in skilled nursing facilities. Therefore, we need more RNs to support that. It's a very cost-effective alternative to acute care. Definitely supportive. House Bill 2540, anything we can do to increase that pipeline. We need more master's degree nurses to teach BSNs. That's a requirement. And to do that, we need to create more BSNs to transition into that master's in nursing track. Thank you for your time.
And thank you for not pointing out the necessity to accommodate my generation in greater numbers. So you're getting close. Any questions? I'd like to move on unless there's anything really pressing. Yeah, that's great. Again, thank you all for being here. Very important. Okay, we could have Chemeketa Community College President and Klamath Community College Presidents. We need to wrap up by 4:30. A little sooner would be helpful.
Okay, great. No worries.
No pressure.
I think I can do this in about 2 minutes or so, 2 minutes and 15 seconds. I'll try. So, Chair Reardon, Vice Chair Alonzo Leon, and Vice Chair Wisnett, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Julie Huckestein, President of Chemeketa Community College. I want to thank Representative Hack for sponsoring this bill and the committee for the opportunity to testify. This bill allows community colleges to award bachelor's degrees in nursing subject to the approvals mentioned earlier. This bill is narrowly written and is concerned with nursing bachelor's degrees only. The goal of HB 2540 is to address workforce needs by creating another pathway for students to earn their degree in nursing. It will allow us to serve our local communities and provide students access to an affordable and quality education. Community college nursing faculty have a minimum of a master's degree, and our students have first-time pass rates on the national RN licensure exam equivalent to graduates at the four-year schools. Last year, we had a pass rate of over 97%. We've been separately accredited at Chemeketa by the Nursing Accrediting Commission since 1972. As you heard from employer testimony and read in the many letters of support under the record, the need exists. We've already talked about the National Institute of Medicine predicting a shortage of 6,000 nurses by 2025. Believe it or not, that's only 8 short years from now. Chemeketa Community College serves a large and diverse district with over 75 facilities that use nurses. There are 7 large and small hospitals, including the Oregon State Hospital, corrections, long-term care facilities, public health, clinics, surgical units, etc. This bill would allow students with a 2-year associate's degree who are licensed as a registered nurse the option of completing their bachelor's degree coursework at their local community college through face-to-face and online curriculum. The bill is not meant to replace the current RN to BSN option. It would allow another educational pathway option for registered nurses seeking a bachelor's degree. Current options are, and this is the RN to BSN, fully online at OHSU in Linfield, except for one full-time program offered in Portland at OHSU. There's some out of state as well. 23 states permit community colleges to award bachelor's degrees. 18 states right now confer bachelor's degrees, and those were in order to address workforce needs. 10 states, including Washington State, allow community colleges to award nursing bachelor's degrees, and I understand California will follow soon. More information is included in the letter. Community colleges prepare students to be excellent nurses. Some of you may have met one or more of them. Let them have another educational pathway to the bachelor's degree. If we don't address the shortage and continue business as usual, our communities and our state will continue to have a shortage of nurses, and if the Institute of Medicine is correct, the shortage will be more pronounced, and I fear it will impact our most vulnerable, our children and the elderly. Please consider allowing HB 2540 to move forward so community colleges can be a part of addressing this workforce shortage.
Thank you.
Representative Reardon, members of the committee, my name is Roberto Gutierrez, and I am the president of Klamath Community College. You heard our partner earlier, Charlie Twaite, where we are trying to serve that rural area of Oregon. And this is about access. The community college is about access. We're not about picking and choosing. We take all of them that come to us, including the underserved populations, the poverty populations, and many of them, this is the only way they can get higher ed. And I think most of you know the importance of that today, the importance of higher ed or something after high school. That's what we're dealing with. So Washington State has already figured it out that the pipeline is not big enough, and that's why they have currently the BSN. And like my colleague just said, California is about to do the same, and other states have followed this. So I strongly urge you to do the same here in Oregon. Representative Johnson, I spent a few years in Ohio. Listen, you and I need to talk about Common Course numbering, guarantee no loss of credit, and also semester. Everything was on semesters. Talking about efficiencies over there. And then I came to Oregon. We do need some help here. So.
Rep Johnson.
Thanks, Chair. I'd like to ask Rep Bynum's question with her permission, but what could we do to create or access more master's BSN, more folks with master's level are in so that they can teach in environments where we actually have who we need for instructing in these programs.
Go ahead.
So Representative Reardon, Representative Johnson, or Chair Reardon, excuse me, I will answer that as simply as I can. One of the reasons that we are asking for this bill to move forward is because when we have more bachelor's degrees, we can get more master's degrees. And that's really one of our goals as well. If you can't get the if you can't get to the bachelor's degree, you can't get to the master's degree. For that path. And that's something that we've been dealing with ourselves. I mean, we have 13 right now full-time faculty members at Chemeketa, and they all have at least a master's. Two of them have doctorates. Mm-hmm. So it goes back to creating the paths.
Rep. Longell.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you both for being here, and I appreciate all the people who came in to speak on behalf of their respective programs and then certainly a new potential program. I went into education really to help create additional access and make sure that education is affordable. And we're here trying to resolve that. We have many, many students who are aspiring to become nurses. And the fact that we need nurses, this is definitely another opportunity. Now, my question is, I see that you guys are not part of OCNE, and can you give me a little bit more background around the decision? Mm-hmm. And then my other question is, it sounds like OCNE worked really hard to develop a curriculum. Mm-hmm. Would you be working on a similar curriculum to theirs, or are you guys thinking separate curriculum?
Chair Reardon, Representative Alonzo Leon, the curriculum that we use is what you would call a ladder curriculum, and so we encourage all students to get at least their associate degree. We actually tell them when they come in, we want them to get their bachelor's degree, but we don't want to have a separate LPN program. And so what we have with our two-year program, it's a two-year RN. If a student has to stop out for financial reasons or others, they can stop out after the first year and sit for a licensed practical nurse exam. And then after that, they can come back into the program to finish their two-year and then hopefully onto their bachelor's degree program. That is the way our curriculum works. As I said earlier, we have not had any issues with our curriculum as far as our pass rate. We have very high pass rates, and our curriculum works. We all have to teach to what that NCLEX exam does, and we feel like our program works for us and for that. So I would say, though, as your second question on the whether or not we would do OCNE, I do not believe at this point that would be something we'd be doing, because we really do want the flexibility that our program offers right now today.
Can I answer that question? Representative Reardon, Representative Alfonso Leon, we have the similar two-year curriculum, but for us, it was a little bit different because of our student population, high poverty. We felt that this other program that we're talking about is too expensive. And then the student debt issue. And I waited for this moment. And that's why we chose not to do this, because of the expansion, the student debt issue in our population that we have.
So my follow-up question is, again, looking at the cost of the program, what's the anticipated cost? And it sounds like I'm going to get some information around the cost for students who go through the OCNE program and OHSU. I'd like to get a cost also so I can see both.
Sure.
Be able to do a comparison, because I think that's important. And it sounds to me, what I'm hearing from the Chemeketa proposal, is that you're addressing a need for the population that's specific to the area. Mm-hmm. And you have partners who support. Mm-hmm. Similar to your program, you would have be serving the population mm-hmm. in your specific area. And you have partners who are in great support of it as well.
That's correct.
Chair Reardon and Representative Alonzo Leon. Can I answer real quickly on
very,
a couple of those?
Okay,
a couple things I can mention is it's true that in all programs, students have to have some prereqs, and so our students have to have prereqs as well. Once they get their original prereqs, it costs about $14,000 for them to get their two-year degree. So that's their ADN for the RN. And then what we've calculated so far in the RN to BSN program, we estimate it would be around $12,000 to $14,000, which is very similar to the cost at the OHSU RN to BSN program or the Linfield RN to BSN program.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
No.
And let's the last panel is Angie Dougherty and Lita Colligan and Jen Baker. If you can do it by quarter till, that would be great. If we can go a couple minutes over, because my inability to watch the clock. But please go ahead.
Chair Reardon, committee, thank you for letting us speak today. I'm Angie Dougherty, and I'm the Campus Associate Dean at OHSU's Monmouth Campus on Western Oregon University. I just want to give you some background to the reason why we are sited where we are so close to Salem. It is to simply address the need for public university baccalaureate education for nurses in the local area. Each year, by far the largest pool of applicants we get are from the Salem area, indicating that people are perfectly willing to travel to the Monmouth campus. As an Orkney partner, we are proud of the education that we offer and the flexibility that the Orkney curriculum, which is evidence-based and held up as a national exemplar that Oregon should be proud of, offers people in the local area to educate themselves as nurses. We have had tremendous success in being able to tailor the curriculum to the local need, so we adapt our curriculum to suit local people in this area. We have worked very hard over the past 3 or 4 years to increase our diversity. We recognise that all education in Oregon has a long way to go in this area. At our last intake, 20% of our students identified as being from an underrepresented minority, and 60% identified as being educationally or economically disadvantaged. So we feel we are working well to attract those who are traditionally not coming in to education. We have an active outreach program. We go in to local high schools in the Salem area, particularly those with a high Latino population, and actively encourage them to look at nursing as a career. We would like to see them at OHSU, but we would be pleased to see them in nursing in general. And we work very hard to make sure that they come onto our campus when they're still in high school and have the opportunity to see our simulation facilities, our high-class education, and meet with faculty who are doctorally prepared, all of whom have master's degrees. We've heard a lot today about the need to train master's degree nurses. That is crucially important, and we believe in our campus that allowing them to access research active faculty while they're still baccalaureate students is the sole way to make them and inspire them to go on to graduate education. And this year, 3 of our graduates who are due to graduate in June are already enrolled in graduate education, so we are working hard to address that need. One of those students was a Latino student supported by our diversity grant, and she is going to be a family nurse practitioner in Oregon in the next 2 years. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Reardon, Vice Chair Alonzo Leon, and Representative Wisnett. Vice Chair Wisnett. My name is Lita Colligan. I am an Associate Vice President at Oregon Tech, and I'm here speaking on behalf of the public universities. I also have submitted written testimony on behalf of the universities, which you all have in your packet, so I also won't repeat what's in my testimony. But I do want to raise 2 points. First, you heard a lot about the OCNE curriculum and the OCNE program today. This is a national model. The universities are currently working with this committee on transfer. And as you've raised these important issues, this is an example of perfect transfer. Okay, we have 11 community colleges who've all adopted a common curriculum. We have a medical school, a nursing school, that's provided a seamless pathway, and it's creatively delivered all across rural Oregon. We fear that if we allow this bill to move forward, that we will actually jeopardize that OCNE pathway that allows students to have huge amounts of transferability around the state. So that's a very serious issue for us. The second example that I provided in the testimony is about a community college-university partnership that's really great. It's Oregon Tech offering our bachelor's degree in dental hygiene on the Chemeketa Community College campus. So it's another example of a great transfer pathway that you should all take into consideration. We think that this bill actually creates more inefficiency in the system. Rather than using the transfer pathways that we've built, it creates more inefficiency of resources, of staff, faculty, and facilities. We also have offered, as the public universities, to try to meet the demand anywhere in the state in partnership with our community colleges if there's a market need. And that would go for other degree programs as well. So we want you to seriously consider the bigger implications of this bill. Besides potentially jeopardizing the OCNE model, it also could result in unnecessary change in mission and degree-granting authority among colleges and universities. We encourage you to support legislation that builds more partnerships between colleges and universities. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Reardon, members of the committee, my name is Jen Baker on behalf of the Oregon Nurses Association. We represent approximately 15,000 nurses who work in all throughout the state in a variety of healthcare settings. And I will not belabor the indisputable fact that we are that there is a nursing workforce shortage looming in our future, and in fact in some parts of the states that's already here. I also won't pile on to how great the OCNE program is. I think that's been made very clear here today. I will say that our members as nurses often, always, in fact, ask us to pursue evidence-based best practices and policies when we're working here in the legislature on their behalf. And that's why they're not able to support House Bill 2540 at this time. When we look at the big picture and the pipeline issue that has been discussed here so much today, it's really, for our perspective, a three-prong issue. And ONA is proud to be part of a nurse faculty work group that has been convening for almost 2 years now that's really taken a deep dive and a look at this problem and identified the three areas of most concern that we feel like need to be addressed before we start to expand programs. When we start to look at the 7,000 applicants versus 1,000 open seats in nursing schools throughout the state, the real issue at the core of this is nurse faculty. I'll put in an early plug for a bill you'll hear next week, House Bill 2862, which is a nurse faculty loan repayment bill. The main drivers for the nurse faculty shortage are the requirement that nurse faculty be master's prepared. ONA enthusiastically supports that standard and would not even consider lowering that standard because we think it's important for nursing education. However, it does often require that nurse faculty members take on additional debt, and then they come out of that additional education to be master's prepared into a workforce that pays significantly less than they would make in other segments of the nursing workforce. So right now we've essentially established a disincentive for folks to go into educating the future workforce, in addition to a lot of the cultural challenges that exist for nurse faculty around workload and camaraderie that we've heard about in our work group setting. So that's why we're bringing the loan repayment bill forward to you this session, hoping to build on that progress in future sessions with incentives around to encourage more clinical sites and preceptors, which are the other two prongs to this issue. So increasing access through community colleges would be something that we could support if we first had adequate nurse faculty, adequate clinical preceptors for students. So those are nurses or nurse practitioners who are willing to work with student nurses, take on extra workload for themselves, and often settings where they're already overworked, to take time to help facilitate further clinical education and practice for nursing students. And then again, clinical sites. While some hospitals are able to welcome nursing students if they have preceptors who are willing to take on that load, not all are. And with nursing workforce being such a diverse workforce, it's really important, as you heard in Allison's testimony, that students get a wide array of clinical experience. And so really identifying clinical settings and all the different nursing settings is challenges that we are yet to solve here in the state of Oregon. Our members are dedicated to working really hard to do that, hopefully partnering with you in some areas, and certainly pursuing non-legislative approaches when it's most appropriate. So at this time, we're not able to support this bill, but do look forward to continuing this important conversation.
Great. Thank you. Any questions of this panel? Yeah.
Mr. Chair, more of a comment, I guess, than a question, but are we going to hear from the HEC at all on this issue?
They're kind of standing on the sidelines a little bit.
Well, I would just say, as we talk about programs and degree authorization, they would obviously have a role in this, and I think it might be helpful for the committee just to understand the process of authorizing a new degree granting program. You know, it's not like you just rubber stamp. They have to go through a process.
Right. And we'll certainly ask them.
It'd be helpful, I think, for the committee.
Great. Anything else? Noticing that time is drawing near. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay. Well, fantastic hearings. I'm sorry. Is anybody else from the public that would like to testify? Okay. Very good. I'm closing public hearing on House Bill 2540. And I'm closing a meeting of the House Higher Ed and Workforce Development Committee. 1 minute. Workforce Development Committee. 1 meeting of the House Higher Ed.